The U.S. Open this coming week, and Julia Pine, Director of Championship Communications and Content for the USGA, joins us. Good morning, Julia. How are you?
Hey, Ann, how are you?
Good. How's Pinehurst, North Carolina, treating you?
It's great. The course looks fantastic, and I am sitting in the media center.
I love it. You work so hard, and you cover so many tournaments in a year, and I want to get into that in a second. But to talk about the various departments of the USGA that have recently moved to Pinehurst.
Yeah, so we're calling this home now. I personally am calling it home, but there's quite a few departments that have completely relocated to Golf House Pinehurst, as we're calling it. Our equipment standards team, because our new test center is down here in Pinehurst. Our green section team, there's a little bit better weather for them to work on their world here in North Carolina than there was in New Jersey. Our Open Championships team, which runs all of our Opens, as well as a few folks from my world, communications, marketing, partnerships, et cetera.
So what a great transition for you if you like warm weather, right?
Absolutely. The winters here are a little nicer than Far Hills, New Jersey.
And it's such a charming town, Pinehurst, for sure. I can't wait to get up there today. But now Pinehurst has become an anchor site. Can you talk about, you know, this whole new philosophy about anchor sites for U.S. Open venues?
Yeah, so we have three anchor sites, and this will be the first time we're actually playing a U.S. Open on a named anchor site since we formulated this philosophy. So those are Pinehurst, Oakmont, where we're going to be next year for the U.S. Open, and Pebble Beach. And the process here is really, how can we supercharge our U.S. Opens? How can we be better for fans, for players, for viewers? And the things that we're able to do with a facility when they know they have that commitment from us that we'll be back for a U.S. Open every 5 or 6 years, it just unlocks so much for us. And it's everything from here at Pinehurst, we've been able to put in underground water and power so that fans have a better experience. They've rebuilt the locker room here at Pinehurst. That's something the club did, but they wouldn't have put in that sort of investment if they didn't know that we'd be back with that sort of frequency for a championship that, you know, makes them a lot of money. We look at Oakmont, we're going to be able to do things with the land there. We're going to be able to build things there that we just couldn't do if we didn't have that sense of, hey, we're going to have a U.S. Open here that frequently.
Right. So it will be at Oakmont next year, Shinnecock 2026, back to Pebble Beach in 27, Wingfoot in 2028, and then it's back in Pinehurst in 2029, and it's already locked in for Pinehurst in 2035, 2041, and 2047.
Exactly. And that's why we can make those types of, you know, financial commitments to really build this place to be an effective and efficient and, again, supercharged U.S. Open.
Right, right, right. And by doing all this with the USGA's, you know, move down there, as you say, in those various departments, I read where the economic impact of the presence of the USGA in Pinehurst exceeds, what, $2 billion to the state of North Carolina?
Yeah, our partnership with the state is unbelievable. They've been such good partners and friends, and so has Pinehurst Resort, who let us build our new house right on their property. You know, Golf House Pinehurst, both the administrative side, which hosts our test center and all of our offices, as well as the public-facing side. We are open to the public now. It is the World Golf Hall of Fame. It is the USGA Museum and Experience. All of that is right across the street from Pinehurst Number 2. So pretty remarkable that they were able to give us that piece of property.
I'm looking forward to seeing the World Golf Hall of Fame. I know it recently moved back to Pinehurst from St. Augustine, Florida, right?
Exactly. It's a coming home for the World Golf Hall of Fame, which originally was based here. This Monday, we're going to have the 50th anniversary of the World Golf Hall of Fame induction ceremony. But we were able to transport what we thought was the most special part of what was down in St. Augustine, which was the locker experience. All of the inductees have a locker. Those who are still living helped us shape what was in their locker. It's everything from golf memorabilia like clubs and balls and gloves to personal items. You know, Betsy King has a Bible in there. That means a lot to her. Some people have baseball gloves because they love other sports. So walking through that locker experience is really special. You can spend hours getting lost up there.
I'm excited to go over there and check it out. And I went through the inductees who's being inducted. And as far as the presenters go, you're going to have Jim Nance, Nancy Lopez, Michelle Wee West, Peter Jacobson. Those will be a few of the presenters in the induction ceremony. And I hear Darius Rucker is going to host it.
Yeah, he's the MC. We're really excited to have Darius. He's just so passionate about golf, all he does to give back, especially in the amateur and women's game with his event down in South Carolina. But personally, I'm really excited. It's long overdue that the LPGA founders will be inducted, and they've done a really nice thing, as you said, having Michelle Wee to Nancy Lopez to the founders, really tying together, you know, three really important generations of female golfers as we honor all that the founders did.
Yeah, and I know you just spent, a long time at the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster. I say a couple of days. You're there probably, you know, weeks in advance. But what a great win for Yuka Saso. I was so pleased for her because, you know, speaking of the Founders, I was able to play with her in the Founders Cup, you know, Pro-Am for 9 holes. And boy, she can hit the ball. And I was just so pleased. She's such a sweet person.
She is so humble. She's so generous. You know, we got to know her really well. Actually, even before her win in 2021, she was a quarterfinalist at the Girls Junior in 2019, if you can believe that, because she's still so young. She just hits the ball so well. Her game really seems to be made for U.S. Opens. You know, those are her only 2 wins. It's kind of remarkable she hasn't won more. But I told her on Thursday, I said, you're walking with a different kind of confidence. And she said, is that a good thing? And so on Sunday when she won, I said, I think it's a good thing.
Right. And I thought Minji Lee might pull it out. I was able to, you know, play the front nine with her at the Founders Cup. But boy, she's so strong in those major championships as well. But she couldn't do it. She couldn't close it out.
Yeah, another U.S. Open champion. She won here in the Pinehurst area in 22 at Pine Needles. And I think she was certainly the favorite going into Sunday. Obviously didn't have her best stuff. But one Minji story I will tell is she and Yuka are pretty good friends. I think she feels like a bit of an older sister to Yuka. They both live in Dallas, play out of the same club. And even though Minji had that tough day on Sunday, she stood in the back of the room during Yuka's winner's press conference, standing with Yuka's dad, which I just thought was really classy of her and just showed kind of her love for her friend, even when she herself had a tough day.
Right. No, that is, these women are extraordinary. They're just such wonderful people, just lovely on and off the course. And you interview them all the time. Did anything surprise you coming out of that U.S. Women's Open this year from some of the interviews you conducted?
I think Astrix Tally was maybe the most fun interview of the week a few times, just at 15 years old. So much poise, but also still 15. She's not too polished that you feel like it's manufactured. She had an unbelievable first round on Thursday. Obviously was kind of lighting up the media center. She's part of our new U.S. National Junior team, so we've gotten to know her through one of the camps we had already, and some of our coaches have worked with her. But at 15 years old, to be on that sort of stage, she had some tough days Friday, Saturday, still did media when asked. too. So I think overall she can walk out of that with so many positives. But the way she was speaking about the golf course, about signing autographs, she said a teenage boy asked for her number as she walked off the green. It was just sort of a breath of fresh air, but also a reminder of what makes the U.S. Open special is that openness.
Right, exactly. And they're so mature at such a young age. You know, golf teaches you so much at such an early age that these players surprise you, you know, for their maturity at such a young age. Well, moving back to the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, does the trophy already have Scottie Scheffler's name on it?
You know, he hasn't been able to do it yet, so I know Scottie wants that national championship trophy. But, you know, Pinehurst is proven very difficult in the past. You know, we've only had ever in our 3 U.S. Opens here 5 bogey free rounds, so it's going to play tough, you know, a lot of the ways that Lancaster did. I think one of the things we really appreciated was the way the women spoke about it. You know, this is a U.S. Open, this should be tough. And I think the men will walk into Pinehurst knowing that this is a tougher U.S. Open venue. You're not going to have a lot of birdie opportunities, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who kind of walks away with that trophy.
It's hard to fire at those pins with those domed greens, you know, with the fall-off areas, and they're just so hard. Those greens are brutal, you know?
Yeah, John Bodenhammer likes to call them upside-down cereal bowls, and, you know, he's not that far off on a few of them.
Yeah, and I hear they all went to Bermuda grass from Bent. That's the difference this year.
It is, yeah. So we're interested in how they play. We've obviously had some players come out here over the past few weeks. We've gotten some feedback. Wyndham Clark was out here for media day. It was his first time seeing the course. But since then, you know, that's been about 5 weeks. It's definitely playing a little firmer and faster.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Pashley, the president of Pinehurst Resort, he said, Pinehurst number 2, we feel that the golf course is always close to U.S. Open ready. He says in quotes, we don't have to grow up the rough. We don't have to narrow the fairways. We focus on firming up the conditions and making sure it's fast. He says, now with Bermuda grass greens instead of bent grass greens, we can't wait to see how the Donald Ross greens perform under U.S. Open conditions. And going to Bermuda makes it more playable longer in the year. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these guys who are, The scores have just been so low this year on the PGA Tour, but at the U.S. Open, it's always so difficult. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach, their strategy when it comes to playing Pinehurst number two because of those greens.
Absolutely. And one of the other changes, I mean, Tom Pashley nailed it, but the other thing is that native area has really evolved since 2014. Back 10 years ago, there were sort of clumps of that native wiregrass, but there was a lot of exposed sand in between. Since then, that has really filled out. There's definitely a few different plants. We've brought in some wiregrass of our own over the last year and a half. So you're going to get much more penalized for missing the fairway than maybe you did in 2014.
Julia, give my audience a sense of your schedule, because even though you're now living and you're based in Pinehurst, you're very rarely there, I'm sure, with all the USGA tournaments that you cover.
Yeah, so we run 15 national championships. It is nice to have this home game for some of us, though. So we're home for at least 2 weeks right now for the U.S. Open. But, yeah, we just got back from Lancaster. Me personally, I don't go to all 15, but certainly make it to 7 or 8 championships a year, some of our marquee events. So not long after the U.S. Open, we'll be headed to Newport for the Senior Open, a really special venue for the USGA. It's where their first ever championship was held about 130 years ago. We've got a really great Junior Am schedule at Oakland Hills this year, another classic venue. We've got the Women's Am at Southern Hills, the U.S. Am at Hazeltine. So we're making our way across the country as we always do, but really a great lineup of venues.
Are you a golfer yourself, Julia?
Not as good as the golf that I witnessed.
Sure.
I watch such good golf, but certainly living here in Pinehurst, playing more golf than I ever have. And, we even have access to things like the Cradle, which is just such an accessible way for playing golf, even getting 9 in after work. So it's been fun living down here.
How fun. Well, continued success. I'll see you shortly. And can't wait for the U.S. Open to start.
Thanks so much. We look forward to having you here.